technology has been around for a while. It's simply been the level of sophistication and accuracy on the facial recognition part of that is new to it, and also the fact that things are now collected digitally rather than being on tapes. That has opened up the door to a lot more usage. I think last week's program we talked about the proliferation of data as mass retailers grew and grew and grew, and storage costs came down. That data was being shipped all over the firm, and that brought up security problems in that respect. However, the fact that we have that level of data and it's digital also opens up opportunities for that data to be used for other things other than security, most notably marketing. And certainly if you can get tied into the child abduction or the Amber Alert system, that could be a very positive thing for society.
I'll certainly pay, you know, attention to this. Like Greg said, this is Las Vegas technology being applied, you know, in the retail operation. I think there will probably be more buzz than actual action in regards to this topic, because the amount of data, A, is staggering. I've read through the story briefly, and the pitch that Intellivid is using is take the seven people that you have watching your closed-circuit TV right now and put them out on the sales floor. Well, for starters, I don't think a lot of people have seven people sitting around watching their closed-circuit TV. And I'm not entirely certain that, you know, if you look at it from a child point of view, absolutely, it's a precautionary method for, a child abduction. Then in an emergency-based case, I can see it, being used quite frequently. Whereas, to determine the intended theft of an item by an actual customer standing too long in aisle 12, I think we may be a ways off from that yet. But one of the primary things that jumped out at me was the $1,000 camera price. So if you're going to be honing this type of technology in on one end cap display or near one product, you certainly are going to want to see some return on that as far as your ability to really meet the demands of the customer and learn an awful lot more. I was very surprised to see CVS and Home Depot.
And I think, there's an interesting opportunity for, as retailers develop new concepts, they often have people at the store understanding what is going on from a consumer perspective. So this really then lends an objective view into understanding how consumers might be shopping. Do they even look at the display? Are they confused by it? Can they reach and pick up the product? Are they having difficulty even looking at the display, understanding the display? So I do think it brings an interesting perspective from a new product side, but obviously the comments on pricing and how high of a price point is the product probably is part of the key in understanding whether you're going to get the return on investment that you might be expecting.
I'm a little more bullish on the technology, actually, because retailers are very good at knowing what they do know, but very poor at knowing what they don't know. And what I mean by that is they can track what people buy, they can do market basket analysis, et cetera, all day long, but they're not very good at tracking what customers would have bought. Had the price been right, had the display been correct, or something else. So the ability to simply know and be able to track and look at customers as they approach certain items, certain displays, and providing, in essence, an informal focus group discussion on any promotion where you've got this camera focused, is a very valuable tool in the hands of a retailer, because it provides more information that they're typically trying to get today through surveys or, printing out a number on your receipt that you call and get a coupon, or perhaps win a sweepstakes to try to track that information. To be able to do it simply through observation and also be able to do it remotely could be a very powerful tool for these retailers, and something that has a pretty powerful ROI, because if they can simply uptick you one item by through learning this process and learning what you didn't buy, then that's something that's going to have a great return. I mean, how many times have we gone into a store, whether it's Home Depot or a Lowe's, and left because we couldn't find the item we were looking for, or we were looking at it and it was just priced too high and we thought we could get it better priced at Walmart? I think that happens to me just about every time I go shopping. And if this retailer can get one more item per shopping trip, that will easily pay for itself.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think that this is basically the offline equivalent of a site analytics tool. And, I mean, we know in the online world how impactful that is to be able to have the footprint of where a person has gone to every single page on a website. This is essentially promising the offline equivalent of that. And that's something that doesn't exist today. Now, it remains to be seen whether this technology is actually going to be able to deliver that. But theoretically, if it can, it is incredibly valuable. You know, Paco Underhill has been doing exactly that through the course of his ethnographic research for years. And it's always eye-opening when somebody actually, you know, sits down and, I mean, they do it manually. And this tool is promising to do it in a bit of a more automated fashion. But some of the findings and the discoveries that have come from that, just basic things like, you know, X percent of people turn left rather than right when they walk into a store, is incredibly important, and ultimately can shape things like, you know, where you put items in a store and how you set up your planograms. You know, it's something that has the potential to be incredibly effective.
But logistically, I mean, until the time when this is able to be, you know, broadcast to an outsourced location, logistically, how would a retailer really attack this on a multiple store format right now with the staff that it has as far as, you know, who goes through the data, who aggregates it? This is not, I mean, from what my understanding of it, there's no incident response level here where the actual video is going through a software program that triggers at this particular end display, seven people picked up product A and ended up purchasing product B. Someone actually has to physically view this and make note of that data.
Right. That person that's doing that for the marketing perspective is not doing that at the store. They're doing it at a headquarters. It would be a streaming type of situation to do it properly.
Hmm.
Or they could batch it at night. I think the one that's a little bit more difficult is the abducted child type of thing. That's obviously something you'd want to have local.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that my understanding of it is that it's a little bit more sophisticated than that, because if you're still having somebody manually just look through a tape, that's really no different than somebody looking through a surveillance video by hand. I mean, there needs to be some sort of an additional you know, simplification process that is necessary to make this valuable. Otherwise, you know, I mean, it's really, you know, that's where I said, you know, that it remains to be seen whether the technology is actually going to deliver what it promises. But, you know, but it needs to be something beyond what currently exists, which is the surveillance video that's very manual.
Right. From my understanding of the story, the really two only, you know, I guess upgraded features are the fact that when you go digital, A, you don't have storage of physical tapes, and B, the actual resolution is much higher. So you can actually, you know, hone in on small nuances such as mannerisms